guests, one by phone interview, Jed Merrim, who we'll be talking to in a little while, and John Quinn, who is a Civil War musician and a reenactor, founder and director of the New York State 77th Regimental Balladeers, a Civil War group. So, John, hello.
Good afternoon, Peter, and it's a pleasure to be working with both you and Ron, and I just want to congratulate WGXC for, you know, creating this marvelous platform where people can, you know, receive updated information and a lot of the local news and events that are happening right here in our backyard. So so kudos to everyone that's connected here with the station.
Well, thank you, John. Could you tell us a little bit about how the Balladeers got started?
The 77th Balladeers, we are a Wyndham-based, modern-day Civil War string band. We're going into our 16th year, and the group actually is comprised of musicians from as far away as New Jersey up to Glens Falls, and quite a few of us are from the Hudson Valley or the mountaintop. And Peter, you've played out with the Balladeers, and you don't look any worse for wear here.
It's been a great opportunity for me.
I know there have been times when I've looked at you, you know, on the stage, and I've seen that look on your face, like, "Hey, we're flying out without a net here tonight." So it's good to be spending, you know, some time with you this afternoon. The Balladeers, you know, we're dedicated to preserving the music landscape of mid 19th century America. And earlier in the show, you know, Ron mentioned, you know, that today is December. We're celebrating the 70th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And when you think about history in terms of a music timeline, some of the greatest music that has come on to America's music landscape, unfortunately or fortunately, however you look at it, came about as the result of war. And if you think of the tunes that we still commemorate today, starting with the American Revolution, there are actually three or four great eras of music that were inspired by war. The Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War II, and of course the 1960s, the Vietnam era. And the music that came out of those eras has really been lasting. And through music, we really look into the motives and the soul and how people were experiencing those times. As tragic as they were, the beliefs and how they related to one another as they navigated through these adversarial times in our history give us important lessons that transcend each one of these time periods. And the music that came out of the Civil War is certainly emblematic, you know, of that. And the Balladeers, we bring back the songs and the melodies and the lyrics and the rhythms of mid-19th century America. And we play at colleges and universities and schools. And I know, Peter, when we first met, we had met at the annual Civil War Heritage Music Gathering and Encampment, which takes place in Wyndham, New York, each year during the first full weekend in August. And at that event, musicians from across the country convene on the mountaintop and share their passion and their love and their respect for the music. And we evoke the memory of our ancestors by bringing back the tunes that they heard either in their parlor or on the battlefield.
Yeah, and that runs for 3 days. It's a fantastic opportunity for musicians, because in addition to a concert that goes on for hours, which is the official concert, there's a music tent. That gives anybody who wants to play along with what's going on there in the tent an opportunity to do so.
Yeah, we've had the chance, to meet so many wonderful people from throughout the Hudson Valley area that have an interest in traditional music, American roots music, and certainly the music that came out of this period. There aren't a lot of egos. As long as somebody has a commitment to the music and interest in the music, we welcome them with open arms. And the grand concert on Saturday night, which is always sold out at the Wyndham Center Church, which was built in 1835. The hall is decorated just like a concert hall would have been decorated in the 1860s. So we had descriptions of what these concert halls look like, and we tried to replicate that feeling as much as we can for the audience. And I have to say that we present probably the best musicians that perform this kind of music within the country, and the Wyndham event is one of the premier music festivals of this type now in the nation.
Now, do you also give other special kinds of concerts during the year?
Yes, we do. In fact, recently we just did a concert benefit series for Prattsville and Wyndham, and then the band we played out in a little town called Gallupville, New York, which is in the Schoharie River Valley. These concerts were for the flood victims of Irene and Lee. And I'm going to talk a little bit about our experience in Prattsville, because it was very moving. Anyone who has had the chance to drive up to Prattsville or has seen the some of the videos on YouTube and some of the other sites that stream video know how devastating Irene was to the mountaintop area. And it's kind of interesting, but folks say, well, gee, what, you're up in the mountains, water flows downhill, how could it cause so much damage? Well, you have to realize that most of the roads are along stream beds, and the volume of water that fell within a four to five hour period was beyond anything that anyone could fathom. And there's only one place for that water to come when it comes down the mountain, and that is to just overwhelm those stream beds. And in Prattsville, particularly, both the western and the eastern part of town, and Peter, I know that you were there when we did the Hard Times Come Again No More concert, which was on October 5th, so you had a chance to look around, town. I happen to be one of the members of the Board of Trustees for the Pratt Museum, which is located right near the Great American Store, and we were in the museum 2 days after the flood, and the entire first floor of the Pratt Museum and the carriage house was devastated, by the flood. The concert benefit series, which was held at the Center Church, and what we did was we set up a tent alongside the carriage house in the back of the Pratt Museum. And it had the kind of a feeling of like an old-time USO show. We didn't have no amplification because there was no power. And musicians who have played at the annual Wyndham Gathering, they donated their time and their talents, came from as far away as Virginia, Pennsylvania, the western part of the state of New York, New York City, and donated their time to put on a concert for the residents of the town. And I remember getting an email from someone who was at the concert basically thanking the musicians for bringing 1 hour of normalcy to the town. And I remember looking at the faces of people who were in that tent. And Peter, you were there, so you can share your feelings.
The tent was packed with people, and there were people outside in a drizzle, with umbrellas and without. Just it was a feeling, that you can't exactly describe, of the people being there and Just a sense of community, I would say. I can't describe it better than that.
Yeah, when you looked at the at the faces of folks within the audience, there were tears, there were laughter, there was embraces, and the music repertoire that was done that night spanned all the different emotions. The parody songs were kind of comedic, and then we had some very moving songs. And I remember when everybody joined in the singing of "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." And this beautiful, chorus of all of these voices and people rising to their feet, in the tent that night. And you're right, it was a raw, drizzly, evening, but there was a lot of warm hearts, that were there in that tent. And I remember as we drove back to the Wyndham Center Church, because that was the second show that night, the folks that were in the car with my wife Sharon and myself, and we were talking about it and how, as musicians, there is no more noble a mission in your life, that if you have a talent and a gift and you can share that with folks in the community who, again, just needed to get an hour where they didn't have to think about, all the devastation, all the things that were going on in their lives, and they could just kick back, enjoy some music. To be able to bring that gift, to that community at that point in time, and, as a byproduct, to raise some funds for some worthy causes within the community, it just doesn't get any better than that for a musician.
Now,
actually, just sure, for 1 second, just to let everyone know, it's about 4:30. You're tuned to WGXE 90.7 FM. This is the Wednesday afternoon show. We're listening to John Quinn being interviewed by Peter Krug and discussing the issue of Civil War music, traditional Heartland music and Civil War reenactment. You had another question, but something that just occurred to me, I wanted to really find out, because there's a lot of different families coming, and it's a very family-oriented situation. Is there a tradition at all where families sort of pass things down? I mean, the people who are come into this lifestyle at all? Do you find that where sons kind of join in after fathers? How does this?
Are you talking about the whole idea about reenacting or getting involved in living history?
Yes.
I mean, the reenacting as a hobby, if we look at it that way, it is very family oriented, and you do find families will go to reenactments and they'll share that experience together. And typically, for many reenactors, it usually starts with researching an ancestor within their family, and then it's almost like a domino effect. I mean, first you find out that you had an ancestor. In my particular case, I remember being with my mom up in a small cemetery up in Princeton, Maine. And I had asked my mother, do you think we had a Civil War ancestor? She said, well, let's go to the cemetery and we'll go over to we'll go to the family plot. And sure enough, there was a Grand Army of the Republic headstone with my great-great-grandfather's name on it. My name is John C. Quinn. His name is John C. Glidden. And I took down the information. He was in the 3rd Maine Regiment, Company F, and wrote to Washington and got almost 60 pages of documentation about his life.
Wow.
And that's how many people who are in the who get involved in living history and reenacting, that's how they start. And then what they want to basically, they study that history. And then, the natural outgrowth is you want to be able to involve other elements of the community and expose them, to living history, which is a very effective vehicle for bringing history to the public.
Sure. I mean, obviously, as that story I was reading earlier, I mean, this is the 70th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, you're finding a lot of people who were there. I mean, the survivors, they're dying out. I mean, the only way this is going to continue on is if you have a tradition that is passed down to the next generation.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, the New York State Military Museum and Veterans Research Center, which is located in Saratoga Springs, for years now, they have been conducting an oral history project and inviting many of these veterans, those veterans who, you know, want to talk about their experience, and it's really, you know, important to get these oral histories down, because once this generation dies off, you know, you're going to lose those first-person accounts.
Yes.
And, you know, through reenacting, in fact, I will share, you know, an example of it, not a Civil War-related example. It's actually an example related to World War II. A number of years ago, at the Veterans of Foreign Wars Hall, post 1545, which is up in Windham, New York, we did a World War II living history weekend called Victory Days. And there was a friend of mine, Paul Martin III, who is an internationally known historical painter. And Paul was working on a book about his father, who flew bombers over in China, what was called the Burma Run. And Paul was there, and he was dressed in his World War II uniform, and he bought some World War II artifacts to exhibit and to talk about, and he was there to talk about his book and about his father's life and the other men who were in his particular unit. And there was a gentleman who showed up who was in his mid-80s, and he was a tail gunner on his father's plane, and Paul had never met him. And he had brought some photographs, and in one of the photographs, there he is with Paul's father and him.
No.
I mean, it was nothing that was planned, and you cannot believe, Ron, the moment when Paul connected with this person. Paul's father had, you know, passed away a number of years earlier, and to have that connection with this other veteran of World War II, and the fact that both had flown on the same plane. It was just an unbelievable, you know, moment. And when you have the opportunity to create an event, a living history event, where members of the public can come into contact with these veterans, and even reenactors who will research and take on, you know, the role of some of these historical characters or soldiers in some of these regiments, and many, you know, wonderful, you know, volunteers from Greene County. There's just nothing that can equal that in terms of a history lesson.
And I think that's the cue. That was good. Did you want to ask another question, or do you want to go into a song? I mean,
just one more quick question, yeah. So that we make sure our listening audience is aware of it. There were some other special concerts, which we may talk about this year. The Balladeers went as far as Rhode Island and Gettysburg and way up in northern New York. And they're scheduling what has become an annual holiday concert this year on December 27th at the VFW Hall up in Windham. What time does that start, John?
It starts at 7 o'clock at Windham Post 1545. And it's going to be a wonderful evening of traditional music. And if I don't mind saying this, there will be we'll be reprising the Mountaintop All-American Kazoo Band. So if you come, you'll get your own kazoo. And it's quite an experience to have the kids and even the grown-ups, you know, who really get into the kazoo. And a little kazoo history, because it does have a connection with mid-19th century America. Everything comes back to mid-19th century America. The kazoo was actually designed, and the first kazoo appeared at the Great Alabama State Fair in 1848. And it was designed by a watchmaker and a tinsmith, and it was shaped like a submarine. That's why sometimes you'll hear people refer to a kazoo as a submarine. And believe it or not, there is a National Kazoo Museum, which is up near Buffalo, New York, and you can recognize it because there's a big kazoo on the roof. So you know exactly what's inside that building. So people do look forward to that. We'll have some wonderful sing out, you know, with folks. There'll be food and refreshments, and it's called the Old Time Holiday Music Gathering. So if you love traditional music, we've got a wonderful lineup of players. Steve Gubler, who lives across the river, wonderful harpist. Some musicians who were part of the Hard Times benefit concert series from Buffalo, New York. Some of the Balladeers. And, Peter, I did extend an invitation to you. We'd love you to have you bring your guitar up. And
plan to be there.
Anyway, you know, we want to get you to fly, you know, fly without that net again. So we'll be there for you.
Can the rest of the staff of the afternoon show come by as well?
Oh, definitely.
To witness Peter's.
Definitely. I'm sure. it's nice to have friends, isn't it, Peter?
Yes.
So.
Okay, so we're going to go into an interview, a phone interview with Jed Marum, whose song we heard earlier. And to lead into this, another track from his CD, Rejoice. I believe this is Away in the Manger. Yes, is that?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay, so you're listening to the afternoon show at WGXE 90.7 FM of the music of Jed Marum.
No, we're just running a little late.
Away in the manger, no crib for his bed. A little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looking down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The kettle low in the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky, and stay by my bedside till morning is nigh.
Hi, Jed. This is Peter Krug.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
Good. I would like to welcome you to our radio station, WGXC, at 90.7, and also let you know that you can listen to it on the Internet by dialing WGXC.org. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in music and why you favor the banjo so much.
That's a big question. I've been singing music all my life. My parents loved to sing. I grew up in the Boston area and sang all the songs that they sang. And, of course, growing up in Boston, that means I sang a lot of the Irish songs. And I worked, you know, day jobs when my kids were young and played music at night. And then as the years went by, and I guess I was in my late 40s when I decided that I had enough of the business world and started working full-time as a musician. And at that point, I picked up the banjo and started playing because some of the bands around here, now I'm living in Dallas, Texas, needed a banjo player for an Irish festival, an Irish band. So I borrowed a banjo and passed the audition and started playing the banjo and discovered that I loved it. So I've been playing the banjo ever since.
Okay.
I still play guitar, of course, too.
Well, I thank you for sending me two of your CDs. I've been really enjoying them, and especially the new Christmas one. And we will continue to use that this season on the radio here. And we have a special Christmas Eve broadcast on December 24th that we'll definitely be using some of your cuts on that. So I appreciate you sending that. Yeah. Could you say a little bit about what went into the orchestration and the production of the albums?
Yeah, I actually did almost all the instruments myself. I have a good friend that is a wonderful singer and plays in a lot of the bluegrass bands in the Dallas area, and I invited her to participate with me. And but I played the banjos and the guitars, and I did multiple tunings on the guitars, and you know, if you notice, I have a little Martin Backpacker listed as one of the instruments, and it actually sounds very, very different. You would never know it's a guitar.
I had
very high and so on. And I played multiple banjos, so those are the instruments that I played. And I brought in a very fine whistle player who plays in with the Dallas Symphony here, plays saxophone for the Dallas Wind Symphony. And that's it for instrumentation. But I wanted a real folk feel to the Christmas songs. I wanted, you know, a traditional Christmas album. That's why I chose traditional Christmas songs. I wanted you to get the feeling that you'd be sitting in a church somewhere, and these are the songs that you'd be singing, except that it was all folk-style instruments, guitar, banjo, bass, whistle.
Yeah, that sound definitely comes across, and it's a sound that I like a lot. It reminds me a little bit of a video out many years ago called Appalachian Folk Hymns. Same kind of feel, although somewhat different instrumentation. And I have also played a Martin Backpacker, and it does sound very different than a regular guitar.
It does. It really does. Especially, you know, I tuned it high. You know, put very lightweight strings on it, and there's a tuning that they use in Nashville, and it's called the Nashville tuning, where you put an octave higher on each of the lower strings, and that way when you've got multiple guitars on stage, they really kind of leverage that sound we all recognize as the acoustic guitar sound, you know, the nice, real pretty high-end string sound.
And it sounds like you got a 12-string playing there.
Almost like a 12-string, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did other tunings on top of that, the basis for it. In Celtic music, they use a lot of what they call gad-gad tuning, and that gives you that local sort of sound, and so I used that in other tunings on as well.
Well, you certainly must have spent a lot of time on it, because it came out very tight and very good sounding.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Yes, I did actually spend a lot of time on it, but it was a true labor of love. I've been thinking about this for years. I've even done demonstrations, demos of the songs 2 and 3 years ago, and that's how long I've been thinking about doing this. Finally, you know, a full production recording like this is actually a pretty sizable budget item for somebody like me who makes his living playing music, and so it's a big venture, but I saved up and started the project late summer and worked right through up until about almost the end of October. Get it all done.
Mm-hmm. Well, well worth the time spent. I'm going to turn you over to John for a minute. He has a couple things to talk to you about, okay?
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm.
Hello, Jed.
Hi, John.
Jed, first of all, how do people get your music?
Well, my website is jedmarum.com, M-A-R-U-M.com, but very easy to find on CD Baby. CDBaby.com is a great place to buy CDs and MP3s. You don't have to buy the discs. You can just download it right to your PC or whatever. But I'm also on all of the iTunes engines, all of the MP3 engines like iTunes and Rhapsody and Napster and whatever people are using these days. And I'm on Amazon.
The
album is on Amazon as well. In fact, a few of my albums are on Amazon. So, pretty easy to find if you can remember how to spell my name. You'll find it pretty quickly online.
The third track that we're going to play, "Angels We Have Heard on High." I know last year you had shared that track, with me, and it's the arrangement is just wonderful. So that's going to be the third track from the Christmas album that we're going to share with the listeners. But before we do that, talk a little bit about. We hope that you're going to be back with us at the annual Wyndham Gathering again in 2012. And okay, so that folks will be able to see you up at the Center Church. And I know that for the folks that come year after year to Wyndham, they look forward to having you there. And I just have to say this publicly. That it was our good fortune to have the chance to meet with you a number of years ago, and I remember our some of our early my early discussions when I had to beg, borrow, and plead, Jed, please come to the mountaintop, and I hope the experience has been one that you've enjoyed over the years, because we certainly love having you with us every year. Super.
I've built the whole tour around it. I've done that the last few years. And play in Philadelphia area and play up in New England and Missouri as well.
Right. I know you've played at the National Civil War Museum, I believe, in Harrisburg, right?
That's right. I said Philadelphia, but I meant Harrisburg.
Right. I think Ron is telling us we have about a minute or so to go, maybe even less. So why don't we go right into "We Have Heard the Angels on High," and we'll play that tune. And are we going to go out with that, Ron, that song, or are we going to come back for a...
No, we might be able to have a little bit of a wrap-up, and then we can go into one final song leading up to the news.
Yeah, I thought, Jed, we would go out with, probably, the interviews, your piece will be concluded here, but we're going to go out with the Tom Higgins song, and I'll take the notes that you shared with us. I'll do a little intro in terms of what inspired you, to do the song about Thomas Higgins. And again, thank you so much for coming in to the show all the way from Dallas, Texas. And we couldn't have had a better musician. And it's just unbelievable how timely your new album Rejoice is. And I hope that a lot of folks from the Hudson Valley region will take advantage of your music. Thanks, Jed.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Thank you, Jed.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Merry Christmas.
Okay. So from that album, Rejoice, Jed Marum and Friends, "Angels We Have Heard on High" on WGXE 90.7 FM.
Thank you.
angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why these songs of happy cheer? What great brightness did you see? What glad tidings did you hear? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Sing, come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. While our hearts in love we raise, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis
That again was Jed Merrim with Angels We Have Heard on High. And let me say you can see him probably this summer up at Wyndham that first weekend in August with the Balladeers and many other bands from all over the Northeast playing Civil War music, all over the country, really. And it's my hope, and John's here, that at some future point we can get at least some of the Balladeers to the studio here to give a live performance. So we look forward to that at some point in the future. John?
It'll be, Peter, we would love to do it. Again, I don't know if you want to survive another episode with the Balladeers, but we'd be happy to be with you again. I hope that folks have a wonderful, you know, Christmas and a happy, you know, holiday season. I know that we're going to go out with another song by Jed Merrim, and again, this is from his Civil War collection, and it's the song is called "The Ballad of Thomas Higgins." And Jed was inspired to write this song after he saw a program on PBS called The History Detectives. And he had seen the story of Thomas Higgins, and he did some further research. And it basically takes you back to the ship's logs of the New Bedford whalers going back to 1858, 1859. And Jed is a wonderful lyricist and a researcher of the music of the period, and he really is a storyteller with his music. So we're gonna hear the Ballad of Thomas Higgins, and Ron.
Well, actually, I think there's a lyric to this. Yes, I mean this is a, so. I think we're going to save this. We're coming up on the 5 o'clock hour. It's time to handle some top of the hour business, okay. And I feel that we should give it the So at the end of the news, we'll play the whole song, and we can listen to a number of other tracks from the Jed Marum, and,
right. And
we
from
have
the, from his Lone Star album.
Lone Star album, yes.
Okay,
and a whole slew of musical treats in the 5 o'clock hour. So we'll send it back in to Tom in the other part of our studio here at WGZ.
Can I just say thank you to you?
Oh, and, absolutely. And I wouldn't.
To Peter and to Tom, you know, who was our engineer, who brought Jed in from Dallas, and you know, it was seamless. And we really appreciate all your talents. And again, I particularly want to just commend WGXC. For bringing this platform, to the community. I mean, we can't have enough, communication like this. And when you're bringing in this kind of local involvement and, telling, stories and bringing the news about what's happening within our community, it just doesn't get any better than that. So thanks, fellas.
And again, John, I want to thank you for being willing to come down here and share this time with us. And
well, it's always good for the mountaintoppers to come down and to kind of break bread with the flatlanders.
So I guess that's one way of looking at it, for sure. I hope you can get back up to the mountain in time before the big snowstorm.
There we go.
Okay, so it's 5 o'clock, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre.
Who is community radio for?
It's for people.
You mean it's for the people?
What's the difference between people and the people?
People you see on the street are people. You can see them. You can't see the people. There's too many to see.
You can't see anything on the radio anyway.
That's what's great about radio. There's no